Good afternoon. Today is Monday, September the 24th, 268th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, proud Eureka citizen. Oh, and he's wearing Oregon State colors, Rob Arkley.
They're not Oregon State.
Oh, I see a brand. I see orange and I see.
It's fall.
I see black.
I am wearing fall colors.
I see.
I was just crossing over.
Not in favor of something else, huh?
No. It's a nice time of year. It's a fall year.
Well, maybe your purple shorts are the LSU then, huh?
Could be. See, I'm colorblind. Cher takes care of
colors. You're not even close. You can't argue this one.
All right.
Welcome to Oregon State.
this afternoon,
we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the general economic climate here in our area and here in our region.
I think things are
shifting a little bit, and we'll talk about some of the how comes and the why fors, et cetera, when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley, but before we do, our quote.
Well, coming from Irish roots, my grandfather Matthews and my mother, they would love this one. Dance as if no one's watching, sing as if no one's listening, and live as if it were your last. Every day as if it were your last. Isn't that wonderful?
I'm out of here.
I am too. I think a great example of that. My wife lives that way, and it's just so makes every day nice.
Yeah. It's really frustrating if you have to stand in line.
Well, not with Cher. She always is good enough to put me in front.
I'm sure we're going to end up in politics a little bit, but what's your general sense of the economy? I mean, we hear the numbers, we see the numbers. Depending on who you're listening to, the numbers are real or they're not, or they're including, they've been redefined, da, 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 da. But just a general overall sense, is it? And we talked a couple times ago about bottom seemed to have been hit
in
most areas.
In housing, yeah.
In most sectors. And that maybe there was a little bump up.
There is a slow bump up. Housing prices are being propped up by the low interest rates right now. The 10-year is at, 140 or 150? It's remarkably low.
Right.
Overall, I feel that there is not significant progress being made on the national economy. The uncertainty, I don't think it's the fiscal cliff deal as much as it is. There's just uncertainty and distrust of what's happening out there in the legislative arena. I mean, California, they want us to buy mortgage servicing rights here. Well, we no longer know how long a foreclosure will take in this state. If a debtor is making a reasonable, whatever that is, an effort to renegotiate the loan, it doesn't even use the word reasonable, you can't foreclose. Well, they can come up with, can you offer 50 cents a month on a loan, and that is a reasonable effort to renegotiate the loan or effort? So we now, this uncertainty legislatively, administratively, is just brutal on business. So I don't feel like business is going to do a lot to come off their cash positions for the foreseeable future.
Are there states where that is happening?
Yes. North Carolina, 3% unemployment. North Dakota. South Dakota's about the same. Iowa's about the same. Nebraska's at, 5%?
I heard 4. Utah's at 4.
Utah's at 4. So whether we like it or not, the states with less big city infrastructure and big government tend to be thriving, and the opposite is the case if you happen to be an old city with lots of people.
So small markets.
Small markets seem to be where it's at.
And the metropolitan ones are suffering.
Well, yeah. Look at the strike in Chicago. Wasn't that amazing? And the graphic no one wants to talk about is test scores go down, teachers' pay goes up. Huh? What's wrong with this equation?
I thought it was interesting that the framework of the discussion was consistently, it's not about the pay, it's about other things.
Yeah, retirement. Gee, that's not pay?
Yeah. But it wasn't ever clearly identified.
And it wasn't, and it was about job security, meaning you can't close down schools that aren't needed. Look, it's all about money. You can call it pay, you can call it benefits, you can call it a bunch of things.
It sounds like Brer Rabbit to me.
It does. It is. And so it was a shame that the kids weren't in school, but it's a shame that test scores are not going up.
What about this SRA thing that the state is doing in the county, the unincorporated areas, is $150 per, is it per parcel or per unit, per building?
I don't know.
It seems to have gotten a lot of attention the last 2 or 3 weeks and a lot of pushback.
I think if it's directly correlative to the cost providing fire protection, because I think that's what it's theoretically for, then we rural owners don't have a lot of grounds to really complain. If the money's not being utilized for fire suppression, it's really going to some other slush fund or city whatever, then I'm opposed to it.
Well, let's do a scenario out in some parts of Cotton or between Eureka and Arcata. There's some rural areas. Right now, those areas are covered by either Arcata Fire Department or by Humboldt Bay Fire.
Okay.
Cal Fire has to run through those jurisdictions to get there.
Yeah.
They're responding to those fires after these other guys are already there. That's the pressure that's coming down. So it really doesn't seem, and this 150, from what my understanding is, it's just backfilling what the governor took for other things.
Well, see, that was
said, you guys can raise it. I can't. I'm going to take it. If you need the money, go ahead and go raise it. And that's where the assessment came from.
That was what I was afraid of in my qualification.
Yeah,
that's what the,
yeah,
the fact is, they've already taken it once.
Speaking of taking it, we'll take a break.
Okay.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, the economic climate, I found it mildly humorous but more disturbing last week when they talked about housing sales going up 8% last reporting cycle.
Right.
But that 18% of those contracts entered into, people will walk away and not honor. So wait a minute. So how can you say that the sales are up, but if of those new contracts that are signed, 1/5 never come to fruition? That doesn't sound like it's a good thing at all. Wall Street had it. The hourly newscast didn't include that second element.
Well, first of all, the hourly news is not going to put anything that could be cast a negative light on the economy because it could negatively impact Obama. But part, I would say, of those 18% that don't close, 3/4 of those are where the House didn't appraise up to the standards for the FHA or VA or Ginnie Mae or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. I mean, in other words, they're appraisal issues rather than...
Well, don't you do that on the front end to make sure that...
No, you probably pre-qualify from a credit standpoint,
okay.
But you don't do it from a collateral standpoint.
We always went the other way.
Yeah, I like collateral.
What's it worth? And let's
more.
Find out.
Yeah, let's deal with the collateral first.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that'd be... It's not easy to qualify for a home loan anymore.
Yeah, was it 20... Well... Back like the old days, 20-25% down?
Yes. And it's you have to have really excellent credit, and you can't have too much of it outstanding. And
so like zero risk. is what everybody's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the de-levering of the society, and they've made the objective decision. We're not going to – they've tweaked the FICO score thing where if you have too much credit out, they're just not going to give you more credit.
That's always an interesting – well, maybe – yeah, we got a couple minutes. Could you explain – we've got buddies who've run into this, and we had it with one of ours also. Credit limits that have been at a certain level, no issues, everything's – and all of a sudden, it gets ramped back, to the point where now they're one of them is chasing us specifically, saying we want you back. I said, no, you didn't see us trustworthy before. We see you not as being trustworthy. Is that commonplace?
Yes.
Because?
Yeah, banks panicked and they took away credit. They crushed a lot of small businesses. And either they ramped them down and made them delever. Local businesses of some scale have had that happen, where they had X dollars outstanding, and they say now you'd have X minus a percentage of X. We had that happen to us on a matured loan. It was performing. It was well collateralized. Nothing is wrong. They said, pay us down. We said, you know we can't. And so there's no credit out there. And
so is that fear from the institutions?
It's fear from institutions, regulators, the institutions' problems becoming the borrower's problems. It's a cyclical thing.
Oh, I see. So it's a pass-through.
It's a pass-through is right.
So just as we talk about developers, well, just the developers pay for it, but they don't. They pass it through. Same thing with a lot of the financial regulatory environment in the last 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
Changing so significantly, and then it's just pass-through.
Pass-through. And it DQs a lot of people out of the system. And so it's harder to start a small business. It's harder to continue a business. Forget small, medium, or large. I mean, lots of large businesses are capital constrained. And so it's a very difficult time to do business.
Isn't that almost the position that was seen as idyllic 10 years ago? You didn't want to have a bunch of capital sitting around unperforming. You wanted to leverage out, make the deals, get the return, keep the ball rolling. Wasn't that kind of the model at one point?
Growth is all, and what you're talking about is growth, and whether it's levered growth through debt or unlevered growth through organic cash flow. What we're in the awful transition, which is why I've been telling you for 5 years now, this is miserable, it's going to be miserable for another 5 to 7 years, is they are taking us from one model, which was a leverage model with growth, to an unlevered model of growth, but it will be much more modest. By definition, you will have high unemployment. By definition, you will have asset values not appreciate or slowly depreciate. I mean, there are consequences to the policies they've taken. So it's not an easy time.
Healthier at the end?
Not healthier, perhaps less risky, more personal less personal responsibility.
So you're running through the eye of the needle now.
Correct. All we're doing now, I mean, people who owned apartments, they're worth they're worth about 0.8 to 0.7 times what they were. If you own a commercial building, it's probably worth 0.6 of what it was. Houses, around here they went down about 35%. So, I mean, basically there's just a general wringing out of credit and capital and all these other things, and you can't do it quickly. It just takes time.
Or painlessly.
Pain is endemic, and especially when the banks don't extend maturities. When banks don't extend maturities, they're creating a crisis point, and it's self-inflicted.
And that's why they're dealing with some of the lovely PR that they've got right now?
I think there are several big banks that probably, they're so opaque, no one really knows what's going on and need to be broken up or...
Like the Ma Bell?
Yeah, I really do think so.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple of large banks that no one knows what in the world they're doing.
KINS, News and Information Time. Like, everybody fill in the blank. We'll see if you're right when we come back. It's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 336. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, as you look up and down the coast, I think I had an epiphany when we were coming back from the Midwest, and I wanted to bounce this one past you because you do more travel than I, obviously. Are we in the West on the coast? The revelation was the American West stopped somewhere around the Sierra Nevadas. What we are beyond that, I don't know, but we're not part of the American West. We're not rural. We're not of the land. Now, you can argue, okay, with some of the ag stuff in the valley, okay. But we're different. There's something different here.
Especially,
is that fair?
Especially I think that is. Okay. Especially California.
You could say Seattle and Portland. I mean, you know, metropolitans on the West Coast.
I think Spokane is still pretty Western. You go into Burns, Oregon, and
okay, now that's rural ag based.
You bet. Yeah. But there's the thing that California's lost is a spirit. I mean, it's a totally there's a total culture of dependency here. We all ought to be ashamed of ourselves. God.
Rendering is what I kind of thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're here, it's slowly being taken away in one form or another. I'd say that timber tax.
Yeah.
1%. Just cause. And I say, wait a minute. And I know some others, DMV is doing some stuff. Retroactive. You know, wait a minute. These are various things that we don't hear, we don't see, because it's not either our ox or it's not general consumer-based. It's industry-specific stuff.
But we all pay for it.
Oh,
1%. Who collects it? Home Depot, Lowe's, Pearson's. They collect that 1% tax.
And it's the pass on through.
Right.
But we see it as 2x6 goes from 189 to 199.
Yeah.
We don't know why, because it's never documented why. Or the
but
gas stays artificially high.
California is drunk on spending, and they're going to try to tax, and they're trying to say Prop 30 is important. By golly, we'll have to close more schools if we don't. And at some point...
Where's the tipping point on this thing?
I think we vote with our feet. Cher and I were sitting around the other day, and it was shocking to know how many people that were here when we came back here 25 years ago are gone. And
aging process gone, or peers that just have relocated?
Peers that have relocated. The aging is a different issue. I mean, I guess you just...
That one happens.
Yeah, it really does. But it's odd to see how many people have left. And it's not healthy for our area. And I do see these young kids coming back. We have some of them working at Security National. Our daughter Allison's coming back. But a lot of them would like to come back, but a lot of them don't want to. And so it's a problem for our area. But you look at our Board of Supervisors, how many, you know, Roger Rodoni, interesting guy. He was a man of the land. I think you can say a lot about him. Rex is probably a man of the land. Ryan is certainly a man of the fish. I mean, he's done a great job on the fish issue for us. Mark Lovelace has just kind of lived off society in whatever thing. So it's just a different perspective. We have too much government in California and not enough individualism. And it's a true example of the nanny state.
But a cultural or systemic change isn't going to happen. I've almost resigned to that, at least in our lifetimes.
You know, don't overlook what Rahm Emanuel said. Never let a crisis go to waste. I do believe California will hit a crisis.
No question about it, but it's taken us 30 or 40 years to get in. it's got to take at least 15 or 20 to get out. Well, that takes us out of our productive years by and large.
We are in, you know, it hasn't been fun losing the last 5 years, but this is when you're in business, these are some of the prices you pay. And I don't think problem with California is we're being adversely selected. Those who can leave
or
are, and those who can't stay and suck off the government
largesse.
Treasure trove, largesse. Yeah, I got it.
Tree?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still, you know, when you get down to it, there's no place more beautiful than Humboldt County. Look at our coastline overall, top to bottom.
I would bet that's why 50% stay, is because of the physicalness. If we were in a different area, same conditions, you're on the road and heading out of town.
Probably,
that's why some of us do stay.
I think, you know what, there's no question you're right. I mean, Cher and I have friends here and we love the area. There are more economic opportunities and I forego them every day living here.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Barkley. Rob, obviously we got something coming up in about 6 weeks or so.
Oh, yeah.
That's rather significant. Are you as intrigued by the way that numbers are being reported? As soon as a poll comes out, okay, there it is. And then somebody is saying why those numbers aren't accurate, or vice versa, playing around. And what's really frightening to me, and maybe it's become such a science that it's to that point, is I'm hearing things like 8 to 10 counties in the country are going to determine the presidential outcome.
I don't think I don't think, well, number one, I don't think it's going to be that close. Number two, the assumptions in the polls, I get to dig into the trees on those and I get into the actual understanding of what happened on some of them, is these are not intelligent assumptions being utilized. They will start sharpening up now. They're going to stop being push polls.
So the model is just inaccurate or is it
sampling? Yeah. No, I think it's number one, anyone who isn't using some portion of 2010 in your modeling and you're defaulting to 2008 because it was presidential is kind of missing the groundswell in this country. And then say, well, 2008 was an aberration. Obama's first black president, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go to 2004. Once again, we have a phenomenon that happened in 2010 that changes everything. And I truly believe that to be the case. We also see a demographic change and a way of communicating. So I don't think we all have pollsters.
Quinnipiac and the big boys are missing that, or they're not factoring those in, or some of these individual?
Well, the best pollster, there are two predominantly good pollsters. One is Gallup, and the other is Rasmussen. Rasmussen uses...
Thanks for the program promo, by the way.
Yes, entirely. Yeah. Welcome. And Rasmussen uses a little better on the likely voter. Quinnipiac is using... registered. Hello? That won't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so Gallup, interestingly, has never... They've been polling for, gosh, decade.
Ever.
And they came out today and said, well, we're just going to tell you that never before has an incumbent president won when he was below 50% approval on September 15th. and Obama was at 45 or 46. And so, you know, some of us took.
But again, is that going back to the historical stuff instead of recognizing current?
Well, I don't think he wins with current. I mean, he's got a bum track record, and he has. I can't imagine one issue that's been specifically discussed. I wish Romney would get a little more specific. All of us are crying out for specifics. But
what about the photo ID? Does that?
Well, that's a red herring.
Is it?
The fact is there's tons of fraud. And
it just is in the system, and don't worry about it?
No, worry about it. Photo ID is very demonstrably effective at eliminating fraud. And the fact is, no hard feelings, Democrats, most particularly inner-city Democrats, thrive off fraud.
Are there some states that have photo ID?
Most do. Even Jimmy Carter, who basically, you know, I still contend had nerve running for re-election, because at some point you say, I just can't do this job. Even Jimmy Carter's for photo ID and says it has no racial profiling element whatsoever. It's common sense.
What do you expect to see in the next, well, before we get together again?
Well, I'd expect to see a great opening day of duck season. I think USC will lose again. I expect to see lots of nastiness. I expect to see a more refined campaign. I expect to see the push of the mainstream media in favor of Obama significantly waning as the results become more obvious.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, buddy.
Great looking tie.
Yeah.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.